Sorry for cussing.
It's Rob and Brent and my Reggie dude, and don't forget, it also features Dawson too. We gonna give you all the dope reviews, but first we'll hit on all the movie news. Cha-ching, cha-ching, box office due. In between the news and the reviews, there's not a lot that we don't do, so turn the volume up, cause we coming through. Put your headphones on and tie your shoes. Jackman and Grant, we got all the views. We're like Brando and Godfather 2. We're gonna make a podcast you can't refuse. This is the Cinema Chat Podcast, and we know a lot about movies. Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's another episode of Cinema Chat Podcast with Rob and Brent and Reggie, featuring Dawson. I'm Brent.
I'm Rob.
I'm Reggie.
And I'm featuring Dawson.
I can't believe there wasn't one of you that used an effect for that. I thought for sure we were going to come into that and you all were all going to have a different effect turned on. That basically, before we got started, and some of this might be in the podcast, I don't know. Rob let Dawson and Reggie know that our microphones, the Yeti X, has the capability to do voice changing. And they felt the need. They had to download it immediately, test it out. And it put us off the rails for a little bit. But we're back. It's episode 461. We're counting down to 500. We're going to be reviewing not Imaginary like we had originally planned. We're going to be talking about Ricky Stenicki on Amazon Prime. But before we get there,
what did we watch this week? Let us give you a peek. We'll get to the news real soon. First, listen to this little tune. Give us the attention we seek while we tell you what we watched this week.
Mr. Dawson, sir, what did you watch this week?
I watched a couple things. I watched Driveaway Dolls.
Ah, Cohen?
Yeah.
Gotcha. How was that? Fair?
It was okay.
Okay. Big Bolo, okay.
It was just whatever. It was fine. I watched Imaginary.
I know how that was.
Against best recommendations.
I tried to tell you.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventure when they go into like the nightmare world. It was weird.
I mean, to be fair, there's some interesting stuff in there. It's just a shit movie.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like, there was also like, I've seen this movie before. It feels like Poltergeist.
A little bit. Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of like Poltergeist going on there. Yeah. And then I watched Love Lies Bleeding.
I'm glad that you were able to get out of jail before the show. Glad that you weren't stuck in the clink after you masturbated. What just happened? What the fuck just happened?
I think Skype had a hiccup.
Okay. All right. We're back. I was saying, I'm glad that you were able to get out of jail in time for the show after you masturbated and fell asleep in the theater for Love Lies Bleeding.
Busted.
Yeah, don't look up Man Falls Asleep in Love Lies Bleeding with his inner out. Yeah, so I watched that.
Was it worth?
No, it's not. I don't know.
I liked it. Yeah. I went to the theater and saw it. I enjoyed it. I liked it. It, I was really going with it for the majority of the movie, and then it gets to the end, and there's something that happens. I'm like, wow, we're going there now, huh? Which kind of threw a wrench in it. But overall, I did enjoy the movie. I liked it. Ed Harris has got a weird fucking skullet thing going on. Dave Franco's got a weird mullet. It's like white trash. Texas white trash kind of shit. I liked it. I could have told you Dawson probably wasn't going to like that.
Yeah, I mean, I got a feeling like there's a lot of like, but I'm desperate. There's nothing else out right now. I'm trying to watch stuff, new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like I sit there and I look through Netflix and Hulu and Max, and I'm like, I don't want to watch any of this shit.
Hey,
so it's like, I'm gonna try putting on stuff that
test yourself, brother. Test yourself.
I have been, brother, and I don't like it.
You gotta like, have the bad to appreciate the good.
I know, but this last 2 weeks, man, Lisa Frankenstein, Damsel, Driveway Dolls, Imaginary, Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh, somebody's got a problem with movies about women.
Rob?
Rob said he
Why
was...
didn't you go watch Kung Fu Panda?
Why are you evading the question, to go Rob?
See Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, they haven't watched the... They have, yeah, why are you changing? Why are you deflecting, Rob? We asked if you'd go see Love Lies Bleeding. You said absolutely not.
Absolutely
not. Two strong female
characters in it. No, thank you.
No.
I don't want that.
It's no, Kristen Stewart, not a fan.
That's not what you had a few more choice words in our text. And then what else did I watch? Invincible is back.
I watched, that's right.
Watched
episode
that.
5.
Pretty good, I guess. I've been keeping up with Halo, unfortunately.
Same.
The thing is like I have
it to, ends this week. That's why I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and like I've just realized like I'm just detached from. I've got a new story coming up later, but like I just feel like this isn't the story that I wanted to see. So I'm just detaching that from seeing like the story that we see in the games, or even like the books, and it's whatever they're doing with it, and it's I don't know. It's more enjoyable when I just kind of detach from like it's not really a Halo show that just
like Survivor. my problem with Halo is like I've never played any of the games, so I don't know the story, and I don't feel they're doing enough the world building to make me understand what's going on. Like there's a lot of I wouldn't say there's a lot of political intrigue, but there is political intrigue, and I don't know if I'm not understanding it because I've never played the game or if they're just bad storytellers. So like I don't really care what I don't know what's going on. I don't care to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a shame because the stories in the games are and you know, like the books. Like I've read a couple of the books and they're awesome. I mean, it's like it's really good stuff. I mean, there's really good story there, and they're just completely just like, yeah, we're gonna do what we want to do. You want to watch Halo? You want to watch the guy in the armor suit? Nah. This whole season, nah. He's gonna be not in his Halo armor all season. So. You don't get to watch that. Reality TV, so Survivor, Amazing Race. I'm watching that. Deal or No Deal Island. Brent, you watching that one?
Nope.
You're missing out. Boston Rob's on it.
Okay. All right.
I've been watching some John Oliver. I've been, last week tonight. We're watching that with Courtney. We watched some of that. I swear there was something else. Oh, I was watching some Shogun today. It's good. I don't know how. I have to be fully locked in on that. Watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the Nickelodeon documentary on HBO Max, Quiet on Set. I watched 2 episodes of that so far. Really tough, but I feel like it was towards the tail. Like, well, I mean, it's still a terrible story, but like, I don't really know a lot of these shows that these people are on. Because it was kind of like towards the tail end of like when I stopped caring about Nickelodeon, when a lot of these people are on. But it's still, it's like, oof. Rough story. Yeah. If you want to be bummed out, watch that. Quiet on Set.
Yeah, I probably will watch it, but.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. I think that's pretty much everything I watch.
March Madness is here, so that's going to consume quite a bit of my time over the next couple of weeks. Conference tournaments were this week, so I didn't watch a ton. I did watch Love Lies Bleeding, which I liked probably considerably more than Dawson did. It's an A24 movie, and it's like I said, it's got some interesting. I thought it was really good for a majority of the movie, and then some people are gonna die by the ending. Like it's just. It'll take you out, but overall, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Rob, what about you? What'd you watch this week?
Yeah, I also watched the Invincible Part 2, Episode 5 that came out this week. Really enjoyed that series. The Bad Batch, Season 3, they dropped 2 episodes this week. So that was like a 1-hour special. And aside from that, you know, just the Nikki's to Nikki, and that's about it.
Ricky
Stanicky.
Reggie, what about you?
I also watched The Bad Batch.
I don't wish bad upon anyone.
I can't get it to work on my side. It just says loading resources.
You probably have to restart your computer.
Reggie didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, I did it. The only movie I watched was Kung Fu Panda 4. I saw that in theaters. Just wanted to see it, so we saw that. Other than that, I've been watching The Gentlemen on Netflix, which is like 8 or 10 episodes of mini Guy Ritchie movies, which is right up my alley. So I'm really loving it, which means they'll be announcing that it's canceled like tomorrow. What else? Of course, Bad Batch and Halo. I'm finishing those up. But yeah, there's not like a lot to watch right now. So I'm not really watching a lot. But then I've been playing a lot of Helldivers too. So that's been taking up a lot of my time.
Hey, Reggie, I want to ask you about Kung Fu Panda. You just watched the whole series because you hadn't seen any of them, right? So you watched all of them?
Right.
How can you rank them for me? I haven't seen any.
Okay. I would say 1, then 2, 4, and 3.
Okay. All right. That helps. People that have seen the series. But I was just interested. I just wanted to know if it got better as it went on or if it got worse. It sounds like it has declined. And this one, maybe a little bit of a bounce back. So
yeah, because like 3 was kind of forgettable for me. Like I watched it, and like when I finished watching it, like I kind of immediately forgot it. And then, but 4 was actually, I had a lot of fun watching this one. Awkwafina's in it, maybe that helped. But like, the only thing that was weird,
if there's a cartoon, if there's an animated movie that doesn't have an Awkwafina voice in it, did it really happen? Like,
right? Yeah,
she is. I feel like she does a voice in everything now. Animated movie has Awkwafina in it now. She's prolific. Yeah, like this, she's like Tara Strong now.
Like Kung Fu Panda has a lot of stuff going for it. Like it's started off with, you know, Po just being a dude who has to become the Dragon Warrior, then it's like his time as a Dragon Warrior, and this one's all about him moving on to the next stage in life, and I think it's gonna, like, if there's a fifth one, I would be here for it, because I think it would be interesting to see a fifth one with how they left this one. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we move on to our next segment?
No. You guys have any Lumpy Pillow meetup announcements?
No. I don't think so. Unless Dawson does.
Nope. No, nothing too crazy. It's still happening. So.
Yeah. We had a little setback.
I mean, I guess if you're listening to this and you're not in the DM thread, let us know. There's been some updates in there, but basically,
I'm in the DM thread.
Oh, we'll get you in there. It's basically just been kind of like the hotel area where we're thinking about people should probably stay. There's not like a designated hotel room or hotel. It's just a general area, ranging in price, you know, 100 and some bucks, 130, 140 bucks a night to $200 a night. Just kind of depends. But yeah, everything else is still the same.
Yeah.
I know Brent's working on like a travel guide or something that he'll get out.
So. Yes. So be on the lookout for that. If you're not in that DM thread, let us know and we'll put you in there. So now, yes.
Go ahead. Well, go ahead. I know what you're doing.
No, you do.
I had something in mind, but you're probably going to do it.
Oh, I'm introducing a new segment on the show.
I was also going to do that because I was like, yeah, you talked about that. We haven't done it, so I got the page open right now.
Okay. So I thought, and I haven't talked to Rob and Reggie about this yet. Dawson came to me and he said, well, he didn't come to me. He announced it on Twitter for everyone to see. That he wanted to amend his score for Dune 2. So I thought maybe we could introduce a segment right after what did we watch this week where we go back and we look at the movie from 2 weeks prior. So this week it would be Dune Part 2. And we could just read our scores again really quickly for the people to hear. And we could decide whether or not we wanted to keep that score, if we wanted to amend our score. But once we hit this 2 week period and I ask you, you have the ability to change it. And if you change it, that's your score. But if you don't change it, it's done. It's donezo. You can't change it. It's locked. Because I will admit, sometimes I watch a movie and in the heat of the moment or recency bias, even I might go a little high or a little low. And after some time, I might bounce back and come to my senses a little bit. So I think a 2 week period is acceptable. It's going to be a short segment. A lot of times we probably won't change anything and we can just move on. But this is sort of, we open the floor up and let anyone that wants to change their score, change it. And they can tell why they want to change it. That's all. What do you guys, what do you, Rob and Reggie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Okay. Rob, you cool with that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm cool with that.
All right. So 2 weeks ago, we did Dune Part 2. And I got to come up, I'm going to come up with like a name for the segment, maybe like a little sound to play or something. Dune Part 2, Rob, you gave it a 9.5. I gave it an 8.5. Reggie gave it a 9. And Dawson gave it an 8. I am affirming my 8.5. I'm good with that. I'm happy where that landed. Reggie, you're 9. Would you like to keep or change?
For American Fiction?
No.
Wait.
Dune Part 2.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
2 weeks ago, not 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. 2 weeks. I wish I had seen it again in the past 2 weeks. I think I'll go to 9.5.
Okay. Any reason why you're deciding to make that change?
Because I know I'm going to see it again in theaters, and then went to a friend's birthday party this weekend, and we were talking about Dune 2, and somebody asked my opinion, Jonathan and I, and we just couldn't stop talking about it. And then they said that they were going to see it. And we were like, you have to see it in Dolby because it is just so amazing. And I was so hyped about it still. I'm like, yeah, maybe. Yeah. 9.5.
Oh, it's transcendent. Rob, 9.5. You good?
Staying with 9.5.
Okay. All right. Dawson, 8. What do you want to do?
I got to go up. I think I was a little hard on it. And I didn't really appreciate what it was. And now I think looking back at it and looking at just like probably the cultural implications it's going to have, I think it's going to be a big impact, long-term. And I've got a ton of laughs out of the memes that have come from this movie. So
that's,
I think
that's like, what it really is. I think
it really is. Like, cause I'm like, okay, I thought it was so dumb in the movie, but then everyone's leaning into it and I'm seeing these memes and I'm laughing, and I'm having a better time with it than I, you know, that I gave it credit for. Yeah. Yeah. So there's like, so like, it's everywhere and it fits. And then people are finding like old tweets about Dune or something that happened years ago, and the guy calls it, and they just toss in the Stilgard meme, and I love it. So I'm in on it. I'm gonna go up a whole point. I'm gonna give it. I'm going to a 9.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yay.
So yeah. So the amended score is 2 9.5s, a 9, and an 8.5. 9.125. It's the highest rated movie on here for the year so far. Yeah. So next week, whenever we get to our Ghostbusters review, we'll look back at Spaceman and we can decide if we want to change our scores or if we want to finish the movie and actually give a score. We could also talk about that. So we'll do that in a couple of weeks, and we can also collectively make a decision on where in the show we want to put that, whether it be right here or after box office or before box office. We can talk about that. But yeah, new segment. It
Reggie,
most of the time it'd be quick.
Yes, when you see, is it Dolby Cinema that you see it in?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's only two of those, and that's all AMC. Nobody else has that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. There's only two of those in Minnesota, so that's like I haven't experienced that, but I feel like I need to.
Yeah. All right. Brent, yes.
We had different things in mind.
Oh, okay.
For bonus segments we're adding into the show. Well, you got. Well, it kind of ties into the end of what did you watch this week?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be what I'm going to watch this week.
Okay.
Brought to you by WhenToStream.com. You saw.
Okay. All right.
Because I think this is a big week for movies that are coming out that I'm going to watch. Okay. Like I'm going to watch Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Okay.
Look at the trailer. I know you don't watch trailers anymore, but watch that one. It looks very good.
Okay.
It's a sci-fi movie. It's coming on Netflix this week. The guy that was in Eternals.
Benedict Wong is in this.
Oh, there's Benedict Wong. That's who it was. It was in Eternals. Yeah. Doctor Strange guy.
Okay.
It looks cool. It looks cool. So I'm going to check that out. Roadhouse comes out this week.
Ooh, yes. Forgot about that.
Yeah, that comes out on the 21st. That's Thursday. I might watch Land of Bad again because I watched it once. Might as well watch it twice.
Okay.
Not going to do that. Anatomy of a Fall.
I need to watch that.
Oscars. Yeah. That's coming out at the end of this week. And Shirley, Gina King. So that's
it is
Netflix.
It's
a big week for Netflix. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bob Marley, you'll be able to rent it. Expendables 4 is going to be on some obscure fucking
MGM Plus.
So nobody cares about that.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. So it's a big week. That's what I'm going to watch this week.
All right. Cool. I like it. Letting the people know. Brought to you by WindowStream.com.
Yeah.
That's a free plug for you, Jan. It's a free plug.
Thanks, WindowStream.com.
All right. Let's do the news.
Cindy, the news is on.
Insightful.
Good news.
If the headline is big enough, it makes the news big enough.
Timely.
The news goes on for 24 hours a day.
Well prepared.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Well, I got some bad news for you.
Do you want the Aladdin news or the Aladdin news?
The Aladdin news?
This is movie news.
It's finally happened, guys. We've all been waiting for it to happen, and we finally are going to get the cinematic universe we want, we need, and we deserve. The Hooniverse is in full effect and will be complete by 2025.
I think you could just say Pooniverse.
Is that the Pooniverse?
I don't think it's the Pooniverse.
What is it? Poo? What? Pooniverse? What? How do you say it?
How do you say how do you say it without the poo? How do you just say the regular word?
Universe?
Do you say universe?
Poony universe? Pooniverse?
Pooniverse.
Not Pooniverse.
Not Pooniverse. Pooniverse.
Okay. Okay. Well, sorry, someone smart boy. The timeline is set. We started this adventure last year with a smash hit, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. We'll continue the journey with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey Part 2, which is coming out soon, followed by Bambi the Reckoning, followed by Peter Pan Neverland Nightmare, followed by Pinocchio Unstrung. I'm already all in on that one. And then everyone will come together, and more characters will come together in the Pooh-niverse Monsters Assemble film in 2025. Tinkerbell, the Mad Hatter, Peter Pan, Bambi, they're all getting together for a mega to wreak havoc.
whenever I see Bambi the Reckoning, it just makes me, there was this SNL skit with The Rock back in the early 2000s where it was like a Bambi revenge movie and The Rock was Bambi. So maybe go look that up.
So the synopsis of Bambi Revenge is two hunters or something, I think, they crash in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stranded, and Bambi goes and hunts down the hunters. So it's basically that.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So
I'm excited. Are you in on the Pooniverse?
I'm all in.
Are you really? After Blood and Honey, you're all in?
I you know what? I didn't think it was that bad, and I think now they've got some steam behind this here. Maybe we don't get to see completion, but you know what? I follow timelines and cinematic universes for a long time. Lots of changes happen. Maybe we expand.
I don't watch.
I can't wait for phase two.
I don't watch videos without completion. I mean, movies.
I never get to that part anyways. moving on here. Reggie's excited.
What, for the poo thing?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
It feels like
that poo universe.
I did, but like, it feels like a joke that's gone too far. I don't know if I'm here for more of that. Will I watch it? Probably, but
you got 30 days of horror, bro. You're watching everything.
You know what? You're right. I will be
watching
a
whole
that.
Week.
I could do a whole week. Yeah.
And it's called, what is it called? You have to do that next year. It's like the Terrible Children's Character Universe or something. Like, they have a name for it.
Yeah,
I should have put it in
the notes. I've seen the name around, and I tried looking it up. Yeah.
Terrible Childhood Creatures Universe or something like that. Anyway, whatever. We'll be here. Maybe we'll do a cutting room floor at patreon.com/cinemachat Patreon.
Here's the thing. If they're going to do this, I hope they take it a bit more seriously, because like the story was horrible. Like, it was like, I felt like Pooh was made just to make it, because it was like in the public domain, and like, huh, this is what we can do now, you can't stop us, kind of a thing. And
yeah,
they just wanted to be the first to strike at it. But like, if they're going to continue this on, at least put some thought into it and make it a little bit more serious.
You know, Steamboat Willie's got to show up at some point.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
He's not even part of the Pooniverse right now.
Pooniverse.
Carrying on here. Tomorrow, we got a poster today, a very, very cool poster for Star Wars Acolyte. I think that's the next show that'll come out. We're getting the trailer tomorrow on Tuesday. We got our first kind of peek of the synopsis on what's going on here. Star Wars our Acolyte follows an investigation into a crime spree that pits a respected Jedi master, Lee Jung-jae from Squid Games, against a dangerous warrior from his past, Amanda Steinberg. As clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. Reggie, you in?
Yeah, I guess I'm in.
I mean, I think you might like it. It focuses more on the dark side, and it's not like it's characters that we've never seen before, I think. I don't know if Yoda's going to pop up. I think it's set like 100 years or something, or I don't think it's in the current timeline of where we're at. I think it's a different.
Yeah, isn't this supposed to be like Old Republic or no? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. It doesn't have that in my little note here. Yeah, okay. It's part of the Star Wars franchise set at the end of the High Republic era,
right,
before the events of the main Star Wars film. So Yoda's 800 years old though, so we might get a little young Yoda. I don't know. I guess I don't know the timeline that well. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought you might be excited. It sounds different than.
He was excited. Kind of. And now he's less excited.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I would like some of my franchises that I really love and enjoy to move forward instead of going backwards for whatever reason. It's like I really like Discovery. I'm sad to see it go because at least it's in the future. You know, I've enjoyed Strange New Worlds, but like again, something after Voyager and DS9 would be nice. I guess they gave us Picard, but that was a shit show.
Okay. I'm going to watch
Bye,
it.
Bye, nerd!
Moving along here, because we spent some time goofing around. Mr. Beast, everyone's favorite content creator, has got a TV show coming with Amazon Prime, which will be the largest reality contest series ever, Brent. It's going to have 1,000 contestants competing for $5 million in cash.
It's just going to be on his YouTube, I'm assuming?
No, I think it's going to be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. $5 million cash prize. I believe that's the biggest prize on a reality show.
Yeah, Deal or No Deal Island has the potential to be bigger, but I don't. That won't be unveiled until the end of the season.
Of course it has. Of course it does. Will you let me know? Maybe because I'll.
In that one, they play a game, and then the person with the smallest case number has to go play a game of Deal or No Deal. And if they take the deal from the banker and it's a bad deal, they're out. But if it's a good deal, they get to kick somebody out. And then at the end of the season, all of the winning money at the end, the deal they took is in the cash.
Oh, so they would have to like.
They could get like, really? There's like 10, like 12 contestants. And if each one got $1 million, it could be $12 million. It's not.
That expensive. That would be extraordinary.
Just saying. Deal or No Deal Island. Check it out.
So you're NBC and Peacock. You're telling me I would like it. Okay. All right. Maybe I'll give it a look.
Yeah, you might like it. Let's see here. Oh, Fallout. I'm a big fan of the Fallout games. The show looks interesting. The trailer looks really good. The clip I've seen looks really good. The only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit, but going in with like my Halo mindset, not too bad. Jonathan Nolan, the creator of the show, says that when developing Fallout, he thought it would be a fool's errand to try to please fans. My approach is to make a show that you want to make, trusting as fans of the games, you would be able to find pieces that are essential to us. So I also didn't know until I saw the trailer that it was a leading actress was leading the show. So now I'm kind of like, I've already got a reason not to like it.
Who's in it?
Rob. You going to watch Fallout, Rob?
Who's in it?
Walton Goggins.
He's not.
I don't know. I don't remember the ladies. I don't care about women actresses.
Do you care about men actresses? It looks like
it's Ella Purnell. You ever heard of Ella Purnell?
I haven't.
She's only in 5 episodes. Johnny Pemberton is in the show. Walton Goggins.
Johnny Pemberton. Is he one of the kids from 21 Jump Street?
Yeah. He's the one that he's on TikTok. And
Yeah. He's funny. He's funny.
Not the nerdy one who's like, I was in 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, so I'm confused. Why aren't you going to watch this?
I'm going to watch it. I'm absolutely okay. It was a joke because it's got a female character. And when I play Fallout, my character's always a man.
So.
I don't know I can relate to a female in a post-apocalyptic scenario. I think it looks really good though. The trailer looked really fun.
Okay. All right.
I'm probably going to be watching it. Recommend.
Did we ever talk about the Borderlands movie?
Briefly?
We have, yes.
I confuse these two because they are like, oh, Fallout series is coming out. I was like, I thought that was a movie.
Kingscape is busted.
It's working fine for me.
It's working for me as well.
Yep.
You're busted.
We hear you. Oh, he doesn't want to be here anymore. I could see that being it, but when you look at the two, they're wildly different. Like,
yeah. When I clicked on it, I was like, oh, this is not the other thing.
No, Fallout is very cool. It's like very like set piece, but then like set in the future. Because it's like the nukes went off in like 1950, and people were trapped underground in the Fallout shelters. And then hundreds of years later, their generations come out and they emerge into the wasteland, and they're looking at what's out there. It's mutants.
It's a cool concept.
It's very cool story. So check that out. That comes on Amazon Prime next month. Watch the commercials.
When does the Borderlands movie come out?
This summer. It's a summer blockbuster.
Comes out in August. Like the beginning of August. Second weekend.
Scarlett Johansson has been officially offered the lead of Gareth Edwards' new Jurassic World movie, where she will be playing a dinosaur.
Oh, you got me. You got me on that one.
Which she has. She has been offered. She's a fossil.
I saw some people on Twitter excited about it and some people obviously not excited about that. In my opinion, like whenever I think of a Jurassic World movie, whether or not I think she's a good actress or not, look at what has already been in those movies. Like, it's not like we're degrading the franchise at this point. She's a star. It's fine. I'm still gonna watch it. Like, I like the Jurassic World and Jurassic Park movies for what they are, and I'll continue to watch them. And her being in it is not going to bring me to it or take me away from it, really. So everyone has their own opinions on her, but this is Jurassic World. It's not an Academy nominated picture, but she has a lot of Academy Award nominations, but neither here nor there. She's playing a dinosaur, he says. It's good.
Cass is the lead T-Rex.
It's good. I like
it. Fall Guy, the upcoming Ryan Gosling film. And I don't remember who he's co-starring with. Emily Blunt. Fall Guy has broken a new Guinness World Record during a stunt in which a car does 8.5 cannon rolls. It's the most ever caught on a film for a motion picture.
Wow. And
Tom Cruise is pissed.
He's already working on hitting 9.
Yeah, he's doing whatever he can to do 9.5 rolls. 10 rolls.
That movie's actually, surprisingly to me, been getting really good word of mouth.
Yeah, I've been seeing that too.
So it might actually be good, which I did not expect. I thought that was going to be a piece of shit, but hey, maybe it's good. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Take your significant other to see it. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, there's this rom-com. Stars Ken.
Hey, we're halfway there. And Mary Poppins. Remember
we were watching the Oscars and you saw Ken singing and you thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's go see him in a movie.
It's Ken and Mary Poppins. Let's go. Right.
In a rom-com.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Ready Player One is a much beloved movie here at Cinema Chat Podcast. Steven Spielberg has confirmed that Ready Player Two is in the works. He's only going to produce this time. He's not going to direct.
Yeah. So we all loved Ready Player One. That's been established. I read the book Ready Player Two, and I'm excited to see the second movie. I wish Spielberg was directing it. I think he was obviously the correct choice for the first one. So why not continue on with the second one? Seems weird to me, but just good to know that a series that everyone on this show really likes is getting its sequel. It's much deserved sequel at this point. So
is this a bit? This is a bit, right? Ready Player One. Okay.
No, we all liked it.
I thought Ready Player Two was like universally not liked by people.
It wasn't anywhere near as good as the first story in the first book.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the ending was kind of like, okay.
I didn't read it because I had heard it was trash. So maybe I will go and read it.
It's not as good as
the first book. The movie probably won't be much. I mean,
they'll probably change. They'll probably change quite a bit.
It might need to be broken up into two stories. Ready Player Two, Part Two.
Ready Player Two, Part Two. Ready Player Two, Two.
Quick update here on Christopher Nolan's Payday we mentioned last week. Update. Said he made $72 million for Oppenheimer. Well, they won Oppenheimer Clean House at the Oscars last week. And his payday is now estimated to be closer to $100 million as getting a bonus for being best director.
So he got more money because he won awards?
Probably a bonus, 5%, 10%. Yeah. Made $1 billion. He probably got a, we'll figure it out. What's 28 million? Probably a 2.8% bonus or some shit like that.
I think that's pretty common to get a bonus based on Oscar wins and stuff like that.
I thought the studios didn't care about prestige.
Well, it's probably in his, like, you want me to direct this movie. Just like NFL players, like, I need to have guaranteed money, and if we win a Super Bowl, I get a bonus. If we make the playoffs, I get a bonus.
I want insight into what the bonuses are for Oscar wins, because I want to know how much is on the line for these actors whenever they're up for the award, whenever they don't get it and they have the camera on them. I want to know how much money that person just lost. That's what I want to know. I want to eat the rich.
If it's someone like, if it's somebody new, they're not probably going to have that. But if it's someone like Robert Downey Jr., he probably has some contract. He's like, I want this, and I can forget this. And then,
was that your Robert Downey Jr. impression?
No.
That was pretty good. No. You were killing it over there. No.
I wasn't trying. I guarantee that's there.
Okay. All right. Interesting. $100 million for one movie. Fuck.
Unbelievable.
We're doing like the Matt wrong. Damon turned, we're the wrong turned down, industry.
Turned on Avatar. That's all I have, Brent. I don't know if you want to do your favorite segment of the news.
That segment is dead.
It's dead?
We can talk about it.
You're that far out on? Okay.
I mean, I just don't want to, I don't want to make like a big thing out of it like I used to. So you can treat it as a regular news story. Go ahead.
Oh. Scream news.
Don't do that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Scream news.
Okay. All right.
City of the news is on. City of the scream news is on.
All right.
Brent is back in. He texted me over the weekend.
This is
breaking news over the weekend. Neve Campbell is back starring in Scream 7. But also, the big kicker here is Kevin Williamson is back, and he's writing and directing.
Directing, and he's probably co-writing as well.
He only directed the first one?
He hasn't directed one. Wes Craven directed.
Oh, it was Wes Craven. Yeah.
Yeah. So he wrote the first two. And then he directed like Teaching Mrs. Tingle. He's directed a couple of things over the years.
This is only his two director.
Yeah. So, I mean, Teaching
Mrs. Tingle. Oh, okay.
He's probably fine enough.
I thought for some reason he was, he's just the writer, right?
Yes, he was the writer. He's
original written team. A lot of your favorite stuff.
Yeah, he's written a lot of stuff that I really like, yes. And he'll probably do a fine enough job. Here's the thing. It's a complicated situation for me. Because I know how I feel about what happened. And I know how I feel about with Melissa Barrera. And, I've never really been a person to vote with my wallet. Just because I don't think that I've never really felt like it does much, honestly, like the impact of the few. And I don't think it'll really have a whole lot of impact on the movie. It's so far away. It's probably not going to come out till October of 2025, if I had to guess. I would say by then, a lot of it will die down. There'll be corners of the internet that'll be upset about it, but the majority of the movie-going audience probably won't give a shit anymore. That's why I'm fine talking about it, but I don't want to push the movie. And at this point, I don't want to review it. I don't want to give it shine, really. if you're asking me, am I going to watch it? Like, if that's the question, I'll watch it eventually. Am I going to see it opening weekend or in the theater? At this point, I would tell you no. Once I get a trailer in me,
I don't know.
I don't know. I have such an attachment to that series personally that it's tough.
You know,
I know how I feel right now, but whenever it's sitting right in front of me, I don't know what personal strength I would have. And that's just me being honest with everyone. Cause I don't want to be disingenuous.
You ever had Chick-fil-A, Brent?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like how many of these studios are run by people that would or could or have done the same thing to less fanfare or less people noticing, or the Zone of Interest director made their speech at the Oscars, and like 600 actors or whatever signed a petition against what he said. 600 plus Jewish actors signed a petition based on his acceptance speech. So it's like, it's a complicated issue that's been going on for thousands of years and whatever. I know how I feel about this particular thing, and it's just, it's tough. And I don't want to tell you, I'm not going to see this movie. My intention is to not see it in the theater, but 18 months from now, I don't want to lie to you all and tell you I'm locked in on not seeing it.
I mean, Brent, idea, take your movie pass, buy a ticket to a different movie, and then just go sit in Scream 7. Oh God, is this not Ricky Stenicki 6? Sorry,
you know what?
The wrong theater.
You know what? That's not a bad idea, honestly.
No. If you do it at a showing where it's not very busy, no one's gonna know.
It's not a terrible idea. I just I'm steadfast right now, but I cannot tell you whenever it's coming out and I have a trailer and Sidney Prescott's back and Courtney Cox is back and Patrick Dempsey from Scream 3 is back. I don't know.
I heard Stu might be back.
Are you a Stu truther? I don't want to be fake. But I can. That's how I feel right now. So,
at least it's honest. That's honest. That's good.
So,
I won't be seeing it.
I get it. And you've always been more of a vote with your wallet kind of guy. It's sort of a new concept to me. And frankly, and this is me also being real again, the whole SAG-AFTRA strike and me like putting my foot down for what I thought was right and then having everyone else seemingly around me not doing it pissed me off. And it's kind of turned me off of the, like, oh, we're all in this together bullshit, because we're not in this together. We're not. No one's in anything together anymore, guys. I don't know if you know this.
Here's why I'm a vote with my wallet kind of person, is because, like, I honestly do believe it works. Like, going back, you guys are probably too young to remember this, except for maybe Rob. But, like, during the fight to end apartheid in South Africa, like, people were like, vote, you know, that's kind of when I first came aware of the concept of vote with your wallet, because, like, there are all these people who are like, don't buy Coke products because Coke supports, you know, apartheid Africa and stuff like that. And that's what really ended the apartheid in Africa. It was those movements, because, like, Coke had to pull out of Africa, South Africa, and all these other big companies and, like, stuff like that. So, like, I do believe that voting with your wallet does matter. I still think it matters, because, like, even Bud had problems when they had the trans person on their can or did that promotion or whatever. Like, and I mean, that's, I guess, the bad side of it, you know, because I'm all for, like, trans rights, but, like, that's, I guess the point is that it does work when a lot of people, right? It cuts both ways.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, but yeah, I think we've seen, specifically with Hollywood over the last 6 months, especially, this is not going anywhere, and it's not just one studio. It's going to be a lot of them. I mean, Tom Cruise, what was it? Tom Cruise's representation was going to drop him, or he threatened to leave if,
right,
or something,
yeah,
like
if
that.
They got rid of,
but he didn't leave. He just stood up for one person. So it's, I mean, it's, you know, it's all over the place in Hollywood, and it's, I don't, part of me is like, I don't want to peel back that onion. I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to see how the sausage is made. Because I saw it and I don't like it. Like, and if I knew exactly how much of it was going on, it would be hard to support most of them, probably. So I don't know. It's a very complicated discussion to have. And I don't know that CinemaChat is really even the right avenue to have it. Like, I would love to sit down and chat with Reggie about it and do it, but I'm just not sure that this is really the right place, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. It sucks.
Yeah.
But Neve Campbell got her payday. Everyone was upset about last time. So, go figure that one out. Is that all for the news? Does anyone have anything else?
It.
All
right. Yeah, no, I don't have anything else we can
talk about. Dawson's like, I didn't know this was going to happen.
You blew it.
All right, let's do this.
Box office.
Box office results for the weekend of March 16th through 17th, 2024. Number one for the second week in a row, Kung Fu Panda 4. $30.1 million. Dune Part 2 came in at number 2, $28.5 million. Arthur the King at number 3, that's the new Mark Wahlberg joint, $7.6 million. Imaginary, $5.5 million. Cabrini, $2.8 million. Another movie that we talked about today, Love Lies Bleeding, came in at number 6 with $2.4 million. And coming at number 9, because I have to believe many people were afraid to purchase tickets for it, the American Society of Magical People.
Magical what?
Magical people. $1.3 million.
I think we can say that word, Brent.
Say it.
In context of the movie, yes.
Or the baseball league, because I hear that all the time.
The Negro League?
That's the one. It wasn't Major League Baseball.
I mean, are you comfortable saying it? I mean, it's the. Can you say it? Yeah, I could say a lot of things. Do you want to say it? Do you want to say it?
I can say it. I can say all of them. But
it makes it. Yes, this is reminding me of that Delroy Lindo. say it.
Say it.
Say it.
Say it.
Go ahead. Say it.
I'll, matter of fact, I'll say it with you.
Let's say it together, Brent. Ready? One, two three. Naysayers.
Oh man. But that's,
you know, what's funny about that movie, it boggles my mind how they somehow created a movie that alienates and pisses off everybody. That is a spectacular movie.
I mean, Reggie, I have to believe that at the end of it circles back around, because that concept, I just can't believe that movie would get made. I have to believe there's something at the end that, like, brings it back around the way the story ends or something. But the trailer that I saw it. I didn't watch it when everyone else watched it. I saw it in the theater a couple of weeks ago before a movie. And I was like, oh, this is what people were upset about. I hadn't read anything. I didn't know why people were upset about it. Uh-huh. I'm like, they made a movie where black people's job is to make white people comfortable and happy. Like,
exactly. Yes.
What? Why? What is this?
It was insane. And that's the thing. Like, I've seen some reviews, from people who have actually seen it, and they're like, this is worse than we thought it was going to be. You know, because you know, they're like, okay, if you're going to use a term like magical black Negro, which is like a term, an old trope, they thought it was going to be like a deconstruction of that, you know, and, you know, kind of a, this is how, what it's like to be in, you know, kind of like,
kind of like American Fiction. Yes. Cause right. That's what I thought. I thought this was like, if they cut the American Fiction trailer where they were only showing like the part about the book that the woman wrote, like, that's what I thought this was. I was like, oh, but when you get in there, there's going to be all this stuff that they're not showing in the trailer. And apparently, no.
Yeah, it's like as bad as you could think it is, I suppose, is what I'm hearing. Because it's like a rom-com where it's weird. You know, like, I don't understand how they got this caliber of talent in this movie and how nobody at any point along the way said, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Maybe this isn't the story we think it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there any part of you that now that you've seen that and you've heard that it's worse than you can imagine, is there any part of you that's like, I have to see this with my own eyes? Kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it in theaters, but when it comes to streaming, I will watch it.
I got to catch a glimpse of this warlock.
I'm curious. Okay. I need to see this the train wreck.
Okay. All right. That's what I was wondering. All right, that's the box office. Let's get to our feature presentation.
And now our feature presentation.
You know, all we did was tell one lie.
Hundreds and hundreds of times over many, many years.
If the truth does come out, my marriage is over.
What if we hire an actor to play Stanicky?
Rock Hard Rod, X-rated rock and roll impersonator.
I do a whole act, wall to wall, top to bottom, jizz jams.
Thanks for coming out tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So horny to be here.
This is a really bad idea.
Oh, Jesus. I've been cold turkey in the booth. Ricky Stanicky's in the program, remember?
Oh, Rod.
It's not what you think it is. It's just piss.
I'm a hyper every time. Now my mouth.
I want you to admit that Ricky Stanicky does not exist.
Hey, Mashpulka! Stanicky!
This is Ted Summerhayes, my boss.
Ted, nice to meet you. Digging the suit and the seedlings, man.
The seedlings.
The hair plugs, they're new, right?
This is my hair.
We're gonna lose our jobs. That my best friend. She a real
bad on a dance floor. Epic night, am I right, guys? Fuck you, throw it out and come
back in. That's my best friend. I was really taken with your friend Stanicky. He's got brass balls on him, that guy. That's why I hired him.
That's awesome. You just said, what did you say? Just say it one more time.
We can't let him out of our sight. Not only did I miss the birth of my son, but I let some porno Peter Frampton impersonator snip his...
And we're done.
Stanicky, you are unbelievable.
Show's over, Rod.
It's Ricky.
Ricky Stanicky isn't real.
My job sucked. I had no friends. But now I have all those things.
Oh! Are you a fraud, sir?
What are you talking about?
We gotta get rid of him. Every time he tries to make a point, it's like he's smoking invisible dogs.
Dear God, it's true.
To support.
Now it looks like I'm cupping the balls.
Ricky Stanicky on Amazon Prime. Directed by Peter Farrelly. Written by Jeffrey Bushell, Brian Jarvis, and James Lee Freeman. Starring Zac Efron, John Cena, Andrew Santino. Why am I spacing... Why is he not listed on the cast? What is his name? He's not even listed on the cast that I'm looking at. The black guy.
Macy?
The black guy. What's his name?
Oh.
He was in
Jermaine Fowler.
Coming to America and... Yes, Jermaine Fowler. Thank you. Sorry to bother you. I really like him and I blanked on his name. So, a whole bunch of other people, William H. Macy, blah, blah, blah. this is a Prime movie, so you can watch it right now on Amazon Prime. It is an R-rated comedy, which I feel like we get less and less of in 2024. So, you know, might be a welcomed adjustment for people. I personally am a fan of Zac Efron. I'm a fan of John Cena going way back. And I like Andrew Santino and I like Jermaine Fowler. So, just judging by the cast and it being an R-rated comedy, I was in immediately. Like, this is in my wheelhouse. I was excited to watch it. I didn't think we would review it because reviewing comedies is not necessarily something that spurs a lot of discussion. But I'm glad that we're here because I was excited for this movie. Rob, what did you know going into it? Were you excited about Ricky Stenicki?
No, I didn't know jack shit about this movie. all that John Cena was in it. Yeah, kind of was pretty good. I liked John Cena.
Okay. Reggie, what was your excitement level for this one? Non-existent?
No. Actually, no.
What's up, Potato Knight?
John Cena, I often complain about the Paul brothers because, like, there are people that keep popping up in my feed, and it's like I can't escape them, and I've learned everything I know about them against my will. John Cena is kind of in the same vein in that he keeps popping up, and I don't know when I became a fan of John Cena, but I really am a fan of John Cena in the same way that, like, I'm a fan of Batista. You know, like, I really want them to succeed, and I don't know why, you know, because everything I've heard about John Cena is that he's a real stand-up guy, you know, like the most requests for Make-A-Wish foundations, you know, other things like that. He just seems like a real cool dude, and then on his on-screen presence is really fun and amazing. So, like, he's somebody that I'll watch sight unseen, I guess, and it helps that it's on Amazon. Like, I didn't think I would enjoy that vacation movie he did. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, he really made a stupid script work. And he does that in a way that I find fascinating. So, like, I was really here for this. Sight unseen, really.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to hear. Dawson, I know you were excited for this one.
Yeah. I saw the trailer and I was pretty much in right away.
Wall to wall jizz jams. I saw the clip of that. For those of you that don't know, John Cena plays a character named Rock Hard Rod, and he does like a one man show, and he dresses up as these different musicians and he sings their songs, but he sings them the lyrics are about masturbation. They're called jizz jams, and that little 90 second piece of the movie, I was dying laughing. It was funny shit. But I liked the rest of the cast too. Like, big fan of Zac Efron, Andrew Santino. This is the biggest role I think he's ever had. Like, he's usually like, if he's in anything, he's like the best friend that's in it. Like, he just pops up a couple times and that's pretty much the extent of his thing. He's a stand up comedian. And then Jermaine Fowler, I think we've all talked about him in the past. Really good. So, I am always looking for R-rated comedies. They were my favorite whenever I was growing up, as a kid, you know, things, I shouldn't be watching this kind of vibe. And then it just, I feel like they're not marketable. They don't really get made anymore. And I'm excited whenever I see them. And whenever you get a cast that you like, and frankly, I like the concept. These three best friends get in trouble as kids and they make up a fake kid to get them out of trouble. and then they continue to use it to get out of things. So, yeah, I mean, who, Dawson, who doesn't want to lie to their wife to go hang out with their friends? Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. This is like, yeah. I was taking notes.
We need to we need to make up a fake friend, guys. We could meet up in Atlantic City. All we got to do is come up with a fake friend. Give them cancer. Bada bing, bada boom. We're there. We're hanging out. Yeah. So, aside from being an R-rated comedy, it does have, Dawson, you mentioned it was deeper than an R-rated comedy last week.
Yeah, and Reggie scoffed.
Reggie did scoff.
I did scoff. I'm here to...
Are you here to eat crow?
Learn how... Yeah, I want to know how it was deeper.
This movie touches on male mental health and the bonds of friendship in a way that you don't see a lot. Usually, these types of discussions that the characters have take place with a woman involved. But this, in this movie, has very real conversations, male to male, friend to friend, that involve mental health. And I don't think you see that very much in movies in general. You certainly don't see them in an R-rated comedy. There's a scene with Jermaine Fowler and Zac Efron where I was like, whoa, that's some real shit right there. Like, he's checking his friend, and in a way that is both uplifting, but also like, get your shit together. And I think that that's good to see in a movie. And it snuck up on me in this, even though Dawson told me it was there. And I'm fairly confident that's what Dawson was talking about. Dawson, am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a big piece of it too. Right. And it's not just, we've seen, you know, like in The Hangover, they do the bachelor party and they're like, oh, we fucked up. And then they scurry to make it through. This movie has like a similar kind of moment where like, yeah, we screwed up, and then they can work through it. I don't know. I think there's more to it than just, you know, slapstick R-rated comedy. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm talking about. More message.
Okay. I'm coming around. I agree. Cause there are moments like that. And then John Cena's whole kind of a breakdown is kind of like that as well.
Yeah. They sneak it in there, and it doesn't beat you over the head. It's still, at the end of the day, it's still a raunchy R-rated comedy. Like, it's not, it's that first, I would say.
And I didn't think it was raunchy.
I mean, wall-to-wall jizz jams, Rob. That's pretty raunchy.
It wasn't wall-to-wall toilet humored.
Is that what you need? Is that what you need for a comedy to be considered raunchy?
I'm glad I didn't go in that direction.
Yeah, when I think raunchy, I think Road Trip or like American Pie or something like that.
Yeah, like some TNA and some, hilarity ensues kind of moments.
Okay. All right, fair enough, guys. I'm sorry this wasn't raunchy enough for you. My bad. Sorry it didn't meet your standards of raunchiness. I didn't know I was talking to who's I know I was talking to Belushi over there.
I got two questions for you guys regarding this film. John Cena, did he have like lots of makeup in like the beginning of the film? Make his skin look like really messed up or something.
Did you guys notice that?
I don't know about that.
No.
I don't think so.
And second question is, like, did Zac Efron do Iron Claw first and then this movie, or Iron Claw first and then this movie? Because I was like, wasn't he jacked in Iron Claw? And like, how come he looks like regular now?
No, that was, I think, If you thought he looked regular, that was just great wardrobe.
He's like, still pretty big.
He's still pretty big. Like, he was still jacked, but I thought it was interesting how the suits he was wearing kind of downplayed it.
I do think his face is slimmer a little bit in this, and that's probably related to, probably because he's working out less. I mean,
probably, I think that's it.
It's probably
working out less, not
injecting. Probably has nothing to do with not injecting himself with things, allegedly.
Oh, is he a steroid user?
Oh, they're all
steroid users, Reggie.
Every single action star.
Do you really think Chris Hemsworth Pratt, got where he was by not injecting? Do you think that's natty? That's not natty.
I promise you, they all take, and it's steroids aren't like this big stigma.
HGH.
It's, they're using like some form of booster, and I feel like they're monitoring it and they're using it in the proper way. Like, they're doing it the right way. It's not like I don't think it's gonna kill them. They're not like bodybuilders or whatever. They're just like constantly trying to get as big as they can. Yeah. They're doing it under the proper supervision, which most drugs can be.
Yeah, that Marvel. The Marvel diet or whatever.
I thought they made such a big deal about the Marvel diet and workout. So how that was.
Yeah. They always leave out the section of like,
you have to injection. You still have to do that stuff.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know.
It's not a magical serum.
Yeah. It's not like you shoot yourself up and all of a sudden, raw. No, you got to, you got to put in the work. It just,
I mean, I know that, but still.
Nah, man. I mean, they're, of course, they're not going to say that. They're all doing something.
They're not natty. Nobody's natty.
They're not natty.
Maybe Alan Richardson.
Alan Richardson? He's big. He's
just naturally huge.
He is a massive human being.
But look at him.
Do you think J.K. Simmons is using steroids?
Probably. Probably using something, some type of booster.
Oh.
He's probably on hella testosterone.
Oh,
tea through the roof. But anyways, DRT. did you guys think this movie was funny?
Yeah, I had a time with it.
Okay, Rob.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Okay, all right.
I like when John Cena when he was doing the songs, and then he would dress up as whoever he was singing the song of. I thought that was hilarious.
You know, I like that too, but I was sitting there and I was also like, this is a lot of work for one shot. Like, he's getting in hair and makeup and outfits for each song. That's a lot of work. There's a lot of downtime in that show. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this guy just went from being Alice Cooper to Billy Idol, and now he's Boy George.
That could have been a montage of different shows. So before you're too critical on it, Brent.
I think it was one show. I like it though. It was very, it was fun. It's probably the most I laughed in the whole movie. But I did think it was funny all the way through. Like, I thought I was going to enjoy it, but honestly, it was better than I even thought it would be for me. And I am pretty clearly the target audience for this. Like, if I feel like it was made for me, maybe. Like, they were like, what would Brent like? Okay, let's do that. That's what this is. Because I really liked it. Like, I don't know how people aren't talking about this movie more.
Because it's on Prime. That's the thing, like.
Yeah.
And Amazon does a really bad job. John Cena's done a good job promoting this movie, but
he's on OnlyFans.
He's on OnlyFans, and he's tweeting, and he's got a huge following on Twitter and Instagram, and so he's doing it. But like, I skip through a lot of commercials, and I guess I don't watch a ton of live TV. But I bet you there's not commercials for Ricky Stenicki.
I think that's a Prime problem. I feel like Amazon Prime does not do anything to advertise their stuff. Like, Roadhouse is coming out in a couple of days, and I don't feel like anybody knows that it's coming out.
Yeah.
I've kind of forgot Invincible started last week. I was like, oh.
Exactly. The only reason I knew Invincible started is because I was looking at my virtual private network, and I saw it. And I was like, "Oh, it's back. Okay, let me go to Amazon and watch this."
Yeah, I only knew it was back because I saw a review on YouTube pop up. I was like, "Oh shit, it's out."
I think you meant to say Very Premiere Network, Reggie.
Yeah, I did. I did mean to say that. Private network.
Don't let the cat out of the bag. You fucked up. I think that is a streaming platform. I think across the board they behave a lot in similar ways. Netflix probably has a better reach through social media, but they don't, none of them really market their movies well. And I think what the problem really is for Prime especially is that no one, when you're looking at your streaming platforms and you're like, I want to go watch something, whose first move is to open up Prime Video? Who is picking Prime first to go find something?
That's very true.
Like Netflix, you can happen upon stuff because for a lot of people, that's going to be the first one you open. They're the leader right now. So you go to Netflix first and you're looking through things and you stumble upon things. You're not going to stumble upon something in Prime unless you go to look for something else. It is a destination. It's not something that you just flick through. It's something that you go to specifically to watch something. And I think that is probably their biggest problem and why they, in particular, have to do a better job of marketing their stuff. All that being said, I don't know that they have to do that because it's not where they make their money.
I think they have to do that if they're going to keep making stuff, because what is the point of making some really, like, they have some really great content, but you wouldn't know about it because they don't say anything about it. And it's such a weird thing to pay, like, this is always, you know, beating a dead horse here, but like, I've never really understood why these streaming companies are spending so much money to make these movies just to throw them on a streaming service. What now?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh yeah, you know, just to throw them on a streaming service, drop them without letting anybody know. You know, like there's no way, I don't understand that business decision. And like Netflix will do it, and there'll be times where they're like, you know what, we could put this in theater. We'll put it in theater for, you know, in five theaters, so it might get some Oscar buzz. But like Amazon, I feel like they just drop stuff you don't even know about it, that it's just there, you know. I don't understand the thinking behind it, because like there have been shows I've been waiting for on Amazon and then I forgot about them, come back and then find out that the whole season's been out for 3 months. Like Good Omens 2 had been out for 4 months before I watched it because I did not know that this season 2 had come out.
You know, stuff that comes out during the NFL season gets marketed better because they have Thursday Night Football, and that's 12 million viewers that they have captive where they roll commercials, but it's mostly for their shit. Like most of the commercials on there, or at least every single commercial break, it feels like, has like an Amazon Prime, you know, property being marketed on it. So if it comes out during football season, it gets marketed to a decent amount of people because of a Thursday Night Football. But they really, like I said, I don't think anyone is going to find Roadhouse unless they already know it's a thing. Like you're not going to accidentally stumble across Roadhouse.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Not like you would on Netflix. If Roadhouse came out on Netflix, I'm confident that you'd open the app and it would be at the top of the page. It would be number one in top 10 movies. Like even whenever Netflix doesn't market their stuff, they do a better job of putting it, you know, on Front Street for the big stuff. There might be stuff that slips through the cracks that you don't find that you would like, but if it's one of their big movies for the month, that shit's going to be plastered all over your homepage.
Yeah, I feel like whoever's in charge of Amazon TV and movies, that, you know, somebody comes up to them and they're like, oh, we should really advertise this. And then they're like, why? And they're like, because people love it. they're like, wait, people are really still watching The Boys? What season are we on? Is that popular?
It's huge.
And I feel like it would be a pretty easy fix. Like, I feel like there's like a couple college kids that they could bring in to run the marketing department that would do a better job. So I don't know. I don't get it. But I it's a shame because movies like this come out. And, you know, let's be clear. It's not like this is not a great film. It's not like Oscar worthy or anything like that. But as far as comedies go, like, this is a good movie. And people aren't going to watch it. It's going to languish on Amazon Prime Video and not be seen by as many people as it should. In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess to talk more about the movie, like, I really enjoyed watching him, John Cena, embody the character Ricky Stenicki. And one thing I liked about this that you don't, it usually bugs me in comedies, is that there was a point where everybody was like, this has gone on far enough and we need to come clean, you know, and it blew up in their faces in a different way, in a better, a cleaner way, I think, because the people around them weren't stupid. And I really, that was something I really kind of appreciated because, you know, Zac Efron's character, his wife was going to do a big story, and it was like, oh, this lie is going to ruin careers.
Yeah.
We got to do something about this. And I really enjoyed that they didn't, you know, I mean,
there was an easy way. There was an easy way for that to go, and they didn't take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I really enjoyed that. I was like, oh, this is good. So it was, and Away was kind of a smarter comedy because it wasn't a lazy writing.
And how often do we see movies in general, not just even comedies, where you're like, this plot doesn't take place if people know how to have adult conversations, right? And mm-hmm. and there's a point where there are conversations that could be had and they don't have them. But it is to further the story in a different way than you would normally do. Like, it is good writing. Like, it's a good structure for a script, for a comedy script. I do have to give them a pat on the back for that. Like, there's a lot going for it. It's not just, oh, like, put them in this situation, that'll be funny. Like, there's some good writing here. There really is. Rob, aside from wall-to-wall jizz jams, what were some of the things you liked about it?
I like the way that the cast kind of like worked together, and also I was shocked about what you guys were just talking about, where they could have taken the easy way and just shit on everybody, but they went the other way and kind of like kept everybody somewhat intact. And where also John Cena's character like is part of the, you know, the brotherhood friendship kind of deal. So I like the way that it turned out. And yeah, like I agree that was the smarter high road to take. And that they didn't just, you know, do like stupid shit and stuff like that. Like, you know, like some comedies just do stupid shit and don't get a laugh, where this one is kind of like more taking the high road and it's still funny. But I think like, even though you have all these other guys, I think like John Cena, like, it's carries the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the one, obviously, if you take him out and replace him with someone else, it's a different movie. I do think the other, specifically Zac Efron and to a lesser degree, Andrew Santino, they do drive the plot quite a bit. Jermaine Fowler sort of left off to the side a little more than I would like.
Can I say I hated his character? I hated everything about it because it's like it just seemed like a throwback to the we need a black sidekick best friend in this friend group kind of a thing, because like he's not in the same league as the rest of his friends, and it just seems like he was a forgotten character that they're like, oh, we need to add this because that's what you need in movies these days.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah, I thought that they should have had them like all be like working in that investment firm and not just make him
his attaché, you know,
the pothead, you know, side character kind of deal.
That being said, he does get that one great scene where it's just him and Zac Efron, which is probably for me one of the best scenes of the whole movie, which is why I'm like, oh man, I wish we would have gotten more of this version of that character, because it's almost like a different version. Like, he strips away Rob the pothead, he strips away like I'm the dumb one, and he has like a real conversation with him, and I'm like, oh, like this is a great character, like give me more of this guy. So I don't know, it's
exactly that's I would have liked more of that than what we got in the majority of the film.
Yeah. So Dawson, what do you want to talk about? We're wrapping up here, so.
Yeah, no, really quick, this movie's been in production for 14 years.
I love facts like this. Okay.
This originally James Franco was tagged to be Ricky Stenicki. Scheduling conflicts made him drop out. Then Joaquin Phoenix stepped in to be Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, that would not have worked.
The shooting kept getting delayed until 2013. Joaquin Phoenix dropped out of the role. The role was then passed to, can you guys guess who?
Will Smith.
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey waited for a whole year for the production to start, and then he dropped out of the role. And then it went to, in 2015, it went to, any guesses?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Nailed it. Cage thought the role was an opportunity to remind viewers of his comedy, but at the time, international financiers asked for action elements to be added, as it was sold as a Nicolas Cage movie. The request was denied, and the production was stopped till 2021, where Zac Efron and Netflix finally stepped in, and John Cena was finally cast as Ricky Stenicki.
Netflix?
Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. That's a long list of potentials. Out of those people mentioned, who do you guys think would have been the best? Like, he's persona non grata, but I do think James Franco would have done well with a role like that.
He's the only person of that list that I think could have pulled this off. Like, well, yeah, Nicolas Cage, I could not. That would have been wild in all the wrong ways, I think.
Yeah, I think James Franco would be the choice if John Cena is not available. Like I said, as much as he is persona non grata, like if you're looking at his body of work, this is a role that I think he could knock out of the park. But I'm glad John Cena is in this movie, because I think he's perfect for this. Like, these are the, like, I got really excited for John Cena's acting career following Cock Blockers, or excuse me, just Blockers.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was really, like, he stole that movie for me. He was great. So I was like, oh, this is what he's going to be, and I'm cool with that. Like, these R.A. movies. But he's great in this. Like, give me Ricky Stenicki, too. Make it now.
Yeah. Let him follow up with the story, and like let him be like friends, and they're like past the fake friend. He's a real friend, and he really needs their help with something this time.
Yeah,
like being a dad.
Let him cook.
Yeah,
let him cook.
See it in 14 years.
All right. Anything else before we give scores, guys?
Nah.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I really enjoyed this. I think John Cena has some really great acting comedic chops, and I don't think I've seen him put in a bad performance. I actually would like to see him maybe expand more, do more serious stuff. I don't know. But right now, I'm a fan of John Cena. I'll see anything just because he's in it. So he has moved up there. Zac Efron is amazing, too. Zac Efron, again, I think is an underrated actor, and it sucks because I think, again, another person whose talents are being wasted for some reason. I don't know if Hollywood just hates him. I don't know what the deal is, but I feel like he's got everything to be like, you know, a triple threat. It boggles my mind that people like John Cena and Zac Efron and Batista aren't bigger. It blows my mind. Anyway, this is a good movie. There's only one problem I have with Jermaine Fowler's character. I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Rob.
Yeah, I went into this movie not knowing anything about it, aside from John Cena being in it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I thought every scene that John Cena was in was funny and shows his acting chops. Yeah, Zac Efron was good, and so was the Santino guy, but I liked John Cena the most. I did have some pacing issues in the first and second acts. And I think that, yeah, they could have treated the other guy,
Jermaine,
the black friend. Yeah, they could have, you know, I would have, yeah, liked him to be more on equal footing with the other two friends. I think that would have been better, but I think it's still entertaining. I think it could have been a little bit shorter. We would still gotten the same thing. And it's definitely worth watching, you know, since it's on Amazon Prime. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Dawson?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this one. I enjoyed it. I was telling Brent that if this came out in the late 2000s, it would have been the biggest comedy of the summer. Late, early 2000s. Still in the 2000s. It's like 20 years ago if this movie came out. It would have been awesome. Yeah, it was great. I had a good time with it. I laughed. I enjoyed it. I would like to see more of it. And yeah, I'll give it an 8.5.
Okay. I think I'll also give it an 8.5. It's right on equal footing with Doom Part 2 for me. I really did enjoy it. I really did enjoy it for what it is. You know, obviously you're grading those movies on different scales, you know, but for what this is, it's done really well. And that's sort of what I'm going with on this. I think it's a fantastic movie. I think you should definitely watch it. That's my opinion. I know it's streaming, so technically you would stream it, but on our scale of watch it, stream it, or skip it, I think this is a stream it. That's me. You guys,
it's a watch it. Yeah, right now.
Watch, yeah, it. It's a watch it.
Excuse watch me. It right now.
Watch yeah. it. See it. See it.
See it.
See it. It's a see it. Yeah. So next week, Dawson. It's a big week for you. It's a big week for my boy Dawson.
I've already asked for time off. I put my PTO request in with my wife to go see the movie at 7:20 instead of having to shoehorn it in and see it at some random time.
We got a busy weekend, so me and my buddy Ricky Stanicki are, you know, we're going to the homeless shelter to hand out food. No, yeah, I've got my
ticket. Oh, I see what you did there.
I got my ticket for Thursday night. I'm excited to see Ghostbusters. Bustin' makes me feel good. So,
yeah.
Always
have to check the movie times.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. It's playing every hour. I think you'll be able to find something. All right. We'll see you all next week, everyone. This is a long episode.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Give you so much entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry if it was too much show for you. Sorry if you didn't like that. We'll try to do less. We'll try to do less next time. All right. Bye, everyone.
You don't need to follow me. You don't need to follow anybody.
But you can follow us. I'm Brent, and I am...
Ed's not Malcolm.
And he's Rob, and he's...
Rob.
There's also Reggie, who is...
Hidden.
We can't forget about Dawson at...
Andy!
Underscore
Dawson.
Don't forget to follow the podcast at CinemaChatPod on Twitter. And check out our website, cinemachatpodcast.podbean.com.
I'm following you now. I'm just going to follow you everywhere. I'm just going to follow you the rest of my life.
Thanks, Peter. Now, if the rest of you would get off your ass and follow us, that would be great.
Mail, motherfucker!
Oh, and don't forget to send your emails to cinemachatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please, send us something. Have a good week, everyone. Goodbye.
Dawson, did you ever get your voice filters working over there?
No. It still says that's why I uninstalled this G-Hub thing, because it says it's never connected to my microphone. So I'll have to troubleshoot it.
Okay. Reggie, could you, with that witness protection voice you did earlier, can you say, "I don't wish bad upon anyone"? There was one of them that sounded just like that, and I would like to have that. I don't wish bad
witness upon protection.
Anyone. I don't know what it was called, Burrow. It just made your voice sound weird.
Was it this one?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be Darth Vader voice. Is it not Darth Vader?
I don't wish bad on anyone.
It doesn't really.
I don't wish bad on anyone.
You're still here. It's over. Go home.
Oh, and don't leave your garbage all lying around. It's a total dick move.